the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. You guys, I'm so excited. Jenny Gill's in the house. What? And speaking of house, her new EP, The House Sessions, is so good. It's so real, so honest. My favorite song on it is called Your Shadow, where she addresses what it's like to live in the shadow of her father, Vince Gill. She's so real, and she's just such a cool girl. I cannot wait for y'all to hear this interview. So y'all get excited. Here's Jenny Gill. So happy to have you. We've been trying to do this interview for a little while, and I'm glad we finally got it worked out and we get to do it in Aurora.
This is beautiful.
I know. Isn't this space gorgeous?
This is beautiful. I kind of want to live here.
You can move in.
Can I?
They've got a bathroom, no shower.
Ooh, okay. Maybe not.
Details.
Maybe I'll just visit often.
Visit often. Come. You can play some music anytime you want.
Awesome.
Okay, so I want to start off with a little bit of rapid fire.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a question and you say the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, this scares me already.
You're going to do great. Okay. Music.
Singing.
Fame.
My dad.
Happiness.
My son.
Oh, yeah. Little Wyatt.
Wyatt, yeah.
He's three.
He makes me so happy. And crazy all at the same time.
Right.
But that's what toddlers are supposed to do.
That is what they're supposed to do. And I want to talk about your dad and Wyatt, these two things you just mentioned, and two of the songs that you just wrote, which would be on your new album.
Yes.
EP, The House Sessions.
Yes.
Okay, so one last word. What okay. is success to you?
Oh, that's going... that's a hard one. That's a word I have to go to therapy over. I'm being honest.
What have you learned in therapy about success?
No, well, what I'd like to learn in therapy about success is... so much. Really, success for me, I think, is it's hard to describe. I think it's this unattainable goal because a lot of people in my life currently are ridiculously successful.
We're talking
21 Grammys sitting on a shelf.
That's
successful.
That's your dad, right?
And that's my dad. That's what I have to compare to.
Is it like that? I've always wondered, is it like that? Do you feel that? You wrote a song called The Shadow, which I love, on your new EP from The House Sessions.
Yes. I tried to kind of tackle...
21 Grammys?
21 Grammys.
Gosh, people are lucky to get one. Well, even to, like, be in the playing field and be nominated.
Exactly. This, like, how does this even happen?
How does that happen?
It's ridiculous. You have to be brilliantly gifted, I guess, which is what he is. And it's fantastic and also very frustrating at the same time when you're interested... in having a music career.
How do you deal with that struggle?
Sometimes I deal with it great, and sometimes I'm just like a mess on the floor in tears, and I can't function. But
because on one hand, I was telling you earlier, I was in a band with Taylor Lynn and Jennifer Wayne, who also come from Legacy, John Wayne and Loretta Lynn. On one hand, it's like a great door opener, because you automatically get into the room, I guess. Or not into the room, but like people will pay attention on one hand.
People are automatically curious.
Loretta Lynn, I think, told Taylor, I can get you in the door, but you have to keep yourself there, or something.
And that's the truth. That's the truth. I mean, people are curious enough to say, hey, what's this all about? And if you're good enough, then the rest doesn't matter.
So that's pressure, too, because you're like, what are you even... the standard, because 21 Grammys, like, how can anyone ever be that good?
It's a pretty big standard, and I guess what I have to... continue to tell myself, I keep reminding myself, is that I am me, I sound like me, I'm not one of those kids who sounds exactly like their parent, which I'm grateful for. I think I have my own style and my
Heck
own
yeah.
thing, and my husband, who's also very successful in the music industry, on the publishing side of things, he tells me, babe, what you got to remember is that you're already successful. You put out this music and people bought it. doesn't matter how many bought it. The fact is that there were people out there who cared enough to spend their money. And that's...
I agree with that.
That's success. And I have to redefine the word. Because I'm not going to win 21 Grammys, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be successful in music.
I totally agree. And actually, I was watching a video of you and your dad, and he said something. What is this quote he said? Most people have their results in something, be the definition of something. And I think that's backwards. If it's great when you finished it, it's still great whether anyone bought it or not. And I really think that is so true, and that's what you just said.
Absolutely. He told me this the other day. I was driving to a show, and I was kind of nervous about it because I've just started accompanying myself on guitar.
That's
and
awesome.
It makes me so nervous to do.
Way to go for it and put
Thanks.
Yourself out
hey,
there.
I'm just going for it. Why
just
not?
Put yourself out there and do
go
it.
Go for it. And I was talking to him on the phone driving down the interstate, and I was like, just wish me luck. And he said, Bud, I just want you to know I'm proud of you, and do it because you love it. Don't do it based on some kind of outcome, because he's right. The outcome doesn't matter. You got to do it because you love doing it.
And we all have our own destiny. I really do believe that. And we all are meant to affect in the way that we are. And it's all relative of how big or small it is, you know?
Exactly.
It really is.
If you can reach that one person that's really struggling right now, then that's all that matters. I got a Facebook message recently from somebody who was recovering from a massive surgery, and they were just saying, I put on your music and it makes me feel better. And it's just like, okay, I'm done.
How great is that?
I've done it. I've made it. That's what really matters. The awards and all that stuff that we get dolled up for, it's fun, but it's reaching people's hearts. That's the good stuff right there.
I love that. So you also toured background singing with Amy Grant, who's your stepmom.
Yes.
Which is cool stepmom to have.
She's the most awesome stepmom. I will be honest, I tried to hate her.
I was going to wonder, because you also have an amazing mom. Your mom is, you're like, she's a sweetheart, a cowboy sweetheart, rodeo sweetheart.
Sweethearts of the rodeo. Yeah, her and her sister are the
How
sweethearts of the rodeo.
Precious is that? So you have this awesome mom, and then you get this super famous stepmom who's awesome too. How do you hate someone like that?
Well, you don't. I mean, I tried to so bad. When Dad and Amy got together, I was in high school, so already an awkward, horrible time. And everything was happening so quickly, and the normal teenager instinct is to be defensive and, no, I hate you. But I couldn't. She handled it really well. She would just always create an environment for everybody to get together, and she was never pushy about it.
Really?
She wouldn't make you feel guilty if you didn't show up. She's just like, hey, we're going to hang if you want to stop by. And eventually everybody started stopping by.
So people started trickling in, like a dinner or something?
Yeah, dinner. Really, Christmas was, I think, the main thing our blended family really started to attach to, become our thing that we did.
I love
She's
that.
The queen of Christmas, by the way, if you don't know.
Yes.
Like, Christmas, forget about it. Amy is the queen. And so she always did Christmas huge. And us kids were like,
what is
okay,
Christmas like
well,
with you guys? What is that?
We'll go because we're going to get some amazing presents.
A little bribe is always good.
Yes.
Is that what the Christmas was like? Big presents, big dinner?
Oh, man. Yeah, breakfast. It's Christmas at Dad and Amy's is all about the breakfast. Christmas Eve, we'll kind of all do other things with our other family members, but Christmas morning is where it's at. And Dad makes a lot of breakfast.
What? What do you eat?
Well, it's a lot of breakfast meats. He's a carnivore. Just like sausage and bacon. And
are you a carnivore?
I do like...
I love bacon.
Bacon is, it's a big deal. It's very important.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should be its own food group.
I kind of agree. Like, out of all the meats, bacon to me is the best meat that ever was.
It's so good. It just goes with everything.
I know. But I love pigs, so I hate thinking about where it comes from. But
yeah, we don't have to do that.
We won't do that today.
Yeah. Christmas involves a lot of bacon. It's the way it should be. And so through all those years of getting to know each other under the Christmas tree, I mean, we have a great thing now. And of course it's changing because now... all us kids, we're grown, and I'm starting a next generation. My son is going to be 3 in a couple months, and So the magic of Santa is like being reborn again. It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. How did that feel to have the transition of, obviously you're in high school, already an awkward time, here comes new stepmom, don't like her, then you start liking her, and then all of a sudden, now you're on tour with her, and then you put out your EP, and she said something, I got this quote too, that was, she said, Jenny and I were camping at Bonnaroo for the first time. She played me a work tape of Your Shadow. This song stopped me in my tracks. She had waited months to play it for anyone, and it was a mystery to me. In that moment, I knew she was a creative force to be reckoned with. Her lyrics are thought-provoking, her melodies effortless and haunting. I am a true fan. How does that feel?
Oh, my goodness. I feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside.
But how does that feel to have all of a sudden written this art and to be touring with Amy now? Like, what a whirlwind life.
Yeah, it kind of happened suddenly. Her backup singer, who'd been working with her for years and years, was expecting and about to give birth to her first child, and Amy had all these dates on the books, and there was no way this girl was gonna be able to work. And so they asked me to come in as a substitute, and I thought I would be working with her for maybe 3 or 4 months. And Kim's baby came, and then Kim was ready to come back on the road, but they kept calling me as well. And so they just added me into the band, and that was about 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I have to give Amy so much credit for really a new confidence that I have in myself as a performer.
Really? Because tell me about that.
Before Amy, I didn't really have a lot of stage time. You know, I got to practice with my dad here and there on the road in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't in a situation where I'm on stage night after night singing the same songs with the same people and getting that musical groove.
Yes.
And I got to do that with her. And the singer that I was before I started working with her and the singer that I am now, I think are two different singers.
Wow.
And it means so much to hear that quote, those kind words from her about my writing as well. I really respect her and her creative brain, because it's not a typical, she doesn't write a typical song all the time. I mean, her music stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, I wrote that song, Your Shadow, and it was so...
Where did that moment come from?
It was so just raw, and it makes me feel naked to share those words, to be honest. I wrote that song with some friends of mine that, we lived in the same neighborhood at the time, and I would walk down to their house all the time and just boohoo and sob, like, all my worries to them. And one day, we're on the subject of being Vince Gill's daughter, and I'm just pouring out my heart, and I just hear these, you know, scribbles on a journal. And the next morning, Deanna Walker is her name, she called me and said, hey, come over here, I want to play you something. And she had these chords and these lyrics to this verse, and it just made me cry. And so we finished writing the song with her husband, Rick Beresford, and I was terrified to play it for anybody.
Because it's so real.
It was so off. It was just so...
Did you think someone would be mad at you?
I was so exposed.
What did you think was going to happen? Because that, to me, is the best songwriting ever, when you write something so real, but usually it does involve other people, you know, because we have life experiences that are affected by other people. So how do you present this song?
I almost wasn't going to, and so because I trust Amy, because she's family, I played it for her while we're at Bonnaroo.
That's a good point.
Just like on my phone, and she's like, oh my goodness, I love this. This is so great. And I'm like, oh, well, thanks. Well, then she and I were performing. It was a writer round in Peoria, Illinois, and she begged me to play the song. So I worked it up with the keyboard player, and I got I was kind of surprised by the reaction that I got from the crowd.
They loved it?
And they just loved it. It was, and I felt accepted. And there's a line in that song, you know, I'm talking about my one of my biggest fears is that I'll pour my heart out and no one will care. And that's really the ultimate.
That makes me
that you
cry.
Just give it all and no one's going to give a shit. That's
yeah.
what we're, I mean.
That brings tears to my eyes because it is so vulnerable. To be an artist is so vulnerable. And when you're truly putting your words out there and your heart out there, you basically are standing naked and saying, do you like me?
Exactly.
And that's crazy that every the art is crazy.
It's so hard. And I almost didn't want to record this song or share it. And I was kind of asking Amy, does this song kind of only belong on my first project? She's like, I think so. So I shared it with my dad. I just emailed it to him. I just emailed it and was like.
Were you nervous?
Just listen, whatever, just listen to it. Whenever you want to.
Were you so nervous to
so
hear his
nervous.
Response?
I was. I didn't know how he was going to react. If he was going to be upset with himself. I didn't know if he was going to take it negatively. And when he called me to discuss the song, all we talked about was how well-crafted he thought that it was. We didn't go into all those other layers. It was just about the song, how he thought it was really well done and we should record it. And we did.
And he produced your EP, right?
He produced the house sessions. He put so much love into this project. I'm so proud.
How full circle, though, to grow up, you know, living with Vince Gill as your dad, finding your own way musically, and now you're making your own music from your heart. You wrote five out of these six songs, mm-hmm. and now he's producing them and, like, doing it from your perspective, your musical inclination. How amazing is that full circle moment?
It's really great. We'd never worked that closely together before, and it was really neat to see his process in the studio, how well respected he is in this town and with everybody that he works with. Oh, man. And it was hard to speak up and say, hey, what if we try this? Because whatever Vince Gill says, everyone's going to be like, yeah, let's do that. I think that's a great idea because his instincts are so fantastic. It's so weird to refer to him by his name, by the way. I just said that and was like, that didn't feel right. Uh-huh. He's dad. But man, I still get the same feeling I think a lot of artists get when they work with him. Those nerves that a singer gets when they're walking into the studio and dad's about to produce them. And you just kind of tense up. Okay, you want to be perfect for him. You want to impress him. We all share it, dad or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the type of person that you want his respect.
Totally.
You know?
Yes.
But at the same time, he doesn't act like this big, like, know-it-all a-hole, you know? He's kind, he is patient, you know? And he was really great to work with, and I learned a lot.
When we started this interview, the guy who mics us up, his name is Mike. And you were like, Mike with Mics. And I was like, that's how I introduced you, Mike with Mics. And you're like, I said that because you probably get so...
I saw it all over his face.
Because you're like, oh, you're identified Mike with Mike. And you're like, I actually feel that same way as being identified with one thing.
It's like, that's your thing. Like, everybody in your life approaches you and says the same thing. So, Mike with the mic. Dude, I get it. We're living the same life. And
but
that
it's like
whole,
unavoidable like, almost to talk about it on some level. I feel... Do you feel like it... Because it's not like you want to avoid it.
No, I don't want to avoid it. I'm proud of where I come from. But there does come a point where it's just you can only take so much.
Absolutely.
And Dad is so, he's so talented and gifted and kind. And he's affected a lot of people. And it's no surprise that people who are touched by that want to talk about it. And they want to share it. And, of course, that's the one thing that we have in common. So, of course, they want to talk about it. I get it. But I apologize if you're like that 1% person who gets me on that day where I just have to roll my eyes because we're talking about my dad again.
You know, it makes so much sense.
Oh, it's so funny sometimes. Okay, I was at a gig in Sacramento recently, and I was in a shuttle with a bunch of people. We had all performed at this golf tournament, and there was a gentleman riding along, and I think he'd had a couple of drinks, and he kind of leaned up and he's like, all right, can I ask you a personal question? And I was like, yeah, man, shoot. He's like, all right, Pure Prairie League. Your dad. Okay, that song, Amy. And I'm like, dude, what does this have to do with me? I only ask because you said this was a personal question.
Right.
But really, you just want to ask me a dad question. And I felt so bad. I think he kind of was,
you're
like,
human, though.
Sheepishly was like, ooh.
You're like,
by the way, he did not sing the song, Amy, I'm sorry to crush your dreams and everything. And everybody laughed and everybody got it. But man, there's so, sometimes you're just like.
You're human. I know. Just,
yeah. But, you know, it's obvious. I'm crazy about my dad. And
obviously.
So proud of all of his accomplishments. And
but you're also at a place where, and I think this House Sessions is such an amazing place for you because you're at a place where you've had all of this almost like, school. You know, you grew up with a front row ticket to the country music industry. You have seen it all, more than anyone really has. And you've seen the ins and the out. You know what the life looks like. You know what road looks like.
Yeah.
You know, you have been to school. And now you are emerging as your own artist and you have these amazing songs.
Thanks.
That reflect you and they're so personal. Mm-hmm. Like another one I want to talk about.
Okay.
Is Lonely Lost Me, which I think is one of the sweetest songs ever. Talk to me about this song.
Okay, this song I wrote with my gal pal, Brianna Tyson, and Jonathan Hamby, who actually plays with Amy a lot. And the three of us got together, and we wrote this a long time ago. And it was one of those writing sessions where the three of us didn't really know each other very well. So we're kind of just... It felt like one of those first dates. You know when you get in a
yes.
writing room with somebody and you're like...
and you're about to have to expose your whole soul.
Hey. And yeah, here, let
like,
me
hey.
Just strip down.
It's basically
just...
like a one-night stand.
Exactly!
Like, here, let's meet and
hope
just...
Hope you dig it.
Totally.
Hope you like what I got, what I'm rocking.
Totally! Writing sessions
it's
are
odd.
Crazy like that.
It's odd. It felt like one of those days.
Yes.
And so...
Hope you dig it.
yeah, I don't know. Call me... We'll do it again. It's so weird.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
speaking of one night stands, I like three ways better than two ways. Co-writes.
Obviously.
Co-writes, people.
Obviously.
Okay. And so the three of us, we had a great day. Jonathan is a great piano player, and he was laying down this groove, and Brianna and I were trading ideas back and forth. And it wasn't until... after the song was born and my son was born after that. And I was like, oh, this song feels like it's for him.
It totally feels like you wrote it for him.
And he wasn't in the world.
You knew
when
he was coming.
But yeah, and we were listening to this EP and different mixes, and that's the first song on the EP, Lonely Lost Me. And every time it would end, Wyatt in the back of the car, Mole, he wanted to hear that song over and over again.
I'm so like, he knew it was for him.
That's it. You're going to be my leading man in my little music video.
Talk to me about motherhood. How has that changed
your life?
Oh, girl,
how much time do we have?
All the time.
Holy, oh my God. It's, now, I grew up kind of a spoiled brat. Okay.
How so?
Well, I'm an only child.
Oh, you're only child?
I'm an only child. Well, I was raised an only child. Obviously, now I'm part of a blended family, and I have a brother and sisters now. But I didn't inherit them until I was about 18, 19 years old. And so, raised an only child, I never had to do a chore in my life. I mean, I was a spoiled little brat. Okay? And
it's probably pretty fun.
Like it's great until you become an adult and then you're forced to have all these responsibilities and you're like,
what is this?
Okay. Will somebody show me how to work this washing machine? Cause I really have no idea what I'm doing. I actually asked my college roommate to show me how to do laundry. That's how embarrassing it is. And, man.
For the record, I still wash all my colors and whites together in one load every time.
That's okay.
Right.
Just don't leave them in the washer for like 3 days.
Because then they might start to get that mildew smell. You'd start over.
I learned that.
Okay, yeah.
But Wyatt coming into my life, it cured that spoiled brat out of me real quick. Like, that first year of motherhood, it's the hardest thing I will ever do in my life.
What is that? What does it look like I keep trying to ask people.
It's gruesome.
Yeah.
It's
like no sleep.
It's gruesome.
No.
It's like a horror movie. It really. I mean, without the blood and the guts. Well, there's, I mean.
And you love it at the same time.
It's not blood and guts. It's just throw up and diarrhea and no sleep.
And they don't really love you so much in the beginning, right? Like, it takes a while for that little first smile, so you're kind of doing it.
They say, like, that first smile is actually just some kind of, like.
Reflex.
Yeah, a reflex, exactly.
It's not even real.
It's uncontrolled. It's just like, I have to smile because my brain is making me. But you think, oh, you recognize me.
Finally.
No.
No, it's a reflex.
I think this is true with a lot of moms. I mean, the babies are used to the moms.
Yes.
I mean, they just, there's that bond there. And so there was a time where Wyatt was not really interested in dad for a while. So I was the only one that could make him happy. And there's so much joy in that feeling of being desired like that. There's nothing like it on planet Earth. But the fatigue.
Oh, my gosh.
There's nothing like it. You're not a human being anymore.
You're in survival.
You're like a zombie.
Right.
It's like The Walking Dead.
When does it lift? When do you start to see the light peeking out from behind the cloud?
Well, for me, it was about a year old. And I got to a point where I thought I was going to do something like drastic because I was so lonely in my house. The stay-at-home mom thing, like all the
stay. Because you're on an island.
You are
basically on your own.
You're
island.
Like it's like a prison.
Right.
You're like it's like a prison on an island. It
yes.
feels like.
All my young mom friends say that too.
And to escape the prison, it's like you might as well just stay there because all the crap you have to bring with you
it's
to
not
just
worth
go
it.
A mile down the road to the grocery store
it.
And carry it all around. No.
Mom, help.
You bring me strawberries, please. It was about a year old, and I said, I've got to do something. I got to get out of the house. But something to keep getting me out of the house. You know what I did? I joined the YMCA.
Yes!
I joined the YMCA. I found this little class there called Dance Blast.
And tell me how that has changed your life. Because I believe that an outlet like that is so necessary, especially when you're in jail on an island.
Okay, so Dance Blast literally saved my life in so many ways you have no idea. The YMCA, by the way, they just have this place called Y Play, and you can drop your children off there. They'll just take your child.
For as long as you?
It's like max 2 hours a day.
Plenty.
But
that's plenty.
I just need an hour.
Yeah, but then you can have the other hour to go
there
sit
go.
And just like sit on a bench if you want.
You could just give them your baby, yeah, and go into the little area with the coffee and the snacks and sit there and watch TV. That's what you need. Do that.
You got to have some time for yourself.
You do. And that's what I learned is once you start taking care of yourself and everybody says the same thing and you're like, okay.
So it's cliche for a reason.
It is. And then you do it and you're like, oh.
I'm a much better me because of this.
I get it. So I started shaking my little booty.
What are you doing dance class? Like, because this is not just a regular dance class.
Well, no. It's, you could say it's based on, it's kind of like Zumba. This particular dance blast, I think it's going to change from instructor to instructor. But the instructor that teaches my dance blast class, her name is Alana. She's a rock star. And she just takes it to the next level. It's like, she'll go really ghetto on you just
like
hip-hop and she makes everybody twerk. I mean, I'll just
so you're working on your twerk.
I'm working
on it.
Is that
how you lift each butt cheek individually?
Oh, now that is some advanced twerking. You might have to show me that.
I can't do it.
Because we're not doing, that's advanced dance blast.
Is twerking where you just shake it really fast?
I think twerking is where you kind of get in that squat position and just like it all goes up and down.
Does your husband benefit from your dance class twerking?
I don't think we should discuss any of that. I'm going to just keep that at home behind the bedroom door. I'll just say he hasn't asked me to quit taking the class. Okay.
And I love how you're saying, because I have a love for hot yoga like you have for dance class. Originally, you kind of started in the back.
Oh, yeah. I started in the back row of the class. I didn't know anybody. I felt all weird. And then,
it's normal to go to an exercise class and feel sort of like out of place. Like, am I going to suck? Is everyone going to think I'm
yes,
terrible?
Yes, because everyone thinks that
Everyone's looking at them.
Because you're looking at you. But right. Nobody else is looking
no
at
you. No one
cares. No one cares.
Which is awesome.
We are all ages. We're all sizes. All colors. And we're all doing the same dance steps.
All twerking.
And we're all twerking.
Mm-hmm. And you've moved up
thing.
To the front now. It is beautiful.
It's thing.
I have a moment like that every now and then where I'll look around in my hot yoga class and same thing. All walks of life. All everything you can imagine. And I'm like, we are all in here sweating it out.
Yes.
And doing this together. And it's awesome.
And it just started. The first few classes I took, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die. This is way too hard. And I kept going back. It was the only reason I had to leave my house and have time just for me. And it's been almost 2 years later.
And you're looking amazing.
And I got all the baby weight off. I've just had, I mean, a lot of people recently, I'm not trying to say, oh my God, look at me, I'm so skinny. Because I'm not. But I've compared to where I was, I've done a lot of good work, and I'm really proud of myself.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
And that's inspiring to new moms too, just to put that out there, because I have a lot of young mom friends, and I think it is so crucial to take that time for yourself. It really is. It makes you a better you.
Yeah, mentally it really helped me. I mean, exercise, I'm not a scientist or anything, but all that stuff they say about
it's true.
Endorphins and they make you into happy people, I think it's a thing, because I feel more positive. When I go and I work out, I'm more patient with Wyatt. I don't like flip my anger switch as quickly, and I just can handle things better.
Right.
And now I have this little group of friends
yes.
now and
a community to go to.
Yeah, and we
have adult conversation.
It's so great. I feel really lucky that
I'm
this
really proud of you.
Oh man, thanks.
I'm proud of you. We gotta wrap up. I'm proud of you for a couple of things.
Okay.
One, finding your voice.
Thanks.
Making this EP that is so fantastic.
Thank you.
Having a baby, finding time for yourself, and on top of it, Rolling Stone named you one of 10 country artists to watch.
What?
Did you not know that?
I did.
Oh, how amazing is that?
That's pretty cool.
How good did that feel to have that validation from one of the biggest, like, critique, or what do they call them? Critique people?
Yeah.
Magazines?
Yeah, this... The whole the validation thing
yes.
is something I'm constantly trying to attain. Like, oh, you're only going to be a good enough singer until you get a record deal. And all these silly things that I put ahead of myself. And it's stuff like that you read and you're just like, oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm in this group and they chose me. Like,
because they did not have to choose you.
They didn't.
That was because your music spoke for itself. Which to me, if I was you, would be one of the most validating things.
It was very validating. And I also feel validated and super cool. I didn't feel cool before, but now that I've been on your show, I'm feeling pretty cool. I feel kind of like a rock star today.
This
so.
Is it. This is the standard. Once you make it to Hypercone Hobby,
This has been a blast.
I want to wrap up
okay.
with, and you're going to play us a couple songs from a new EP.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes, I will attempt to stumble through.
Which, you know what? And everyone watching this podcast and listening is so proud of you for playing your guitar.
Thank you.
So this is another chance just to start getting back, just to put
just
another, it's going to be
for
great.
It. It's going to be so great.
That's awesome. But I like to wrap up with Leave Your Light. So out of all of your amazing life, like you have had such a big life to be so young. You've seen so much, lived so much. What is some inspiration that you would like to share with people?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I guess now that I'm a mom and we just discussed this, I think it's important to nurture what you love and what your passions are. It's okay to be yourself. Because everyone's different, everyone's unique, and it's okay to want to blend in, it's okay to want to stand out, but whatever your passions are, nurture those, and the outcome can only be positive, kind of like a domino effect. If you're not even trying to make a positive difference, you will if you take care of yourself and do what you love. And that's what I've learned in my short, what feels like a short 35 years.
You packed a lot in there, girl.
Whew. And also, like, I've come across several other artists who have these histories, these legacy artists, and they might feel a little paralyzed or like they're living in the shadow of parents or grandparents or some awful like reality show history that they're trying to escape. As long as you are being authentic and sharing your gift, nobody is really gonna care about that history because they just wanna connect with you. And I think if we're all just in the moment and taking care of ourselves, how can it go wrong?
Okay, you are so wise. That was incredible.
Was it? Because I was like feeling, I was starting to feel like a little like, how much BS is this coming out of my mouth
no,
right now?
No, no, no. That was so inspiring. I love that.
Oh, man.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for getting up and playing some songs. So we are going to go listen to Jenny Gill play a couple songs.
Teal Audio's newest speaker line, the Aurora Livestream speakers, are designed to fit seamlessly into your home with its wide range of connectivity. To check out the latest speaker line, go to tealaudio.com.
We are here at Aurora Nashville, and Jenny Gill is about to play two songs. Tell us about this first one.
This first one I'm going to play is called Whiskey Words. It's one of the first songs that I completed as a songwriter, and it really made me want to keep writing songs.
All right. Okay.
I've been missing you. Haven't seen you for a while. No, there's nobody new. That's just not my style. Just a little more time. I'll be fine. I don't need a drink. Just on my way home, it's best for me, I think. If you don't stand as close as I'd almost believe, your whisper sounds so sweet. They're just whiskey words I've already heard. That's just whiskey talk. It's just school choir, so I'm using it to my advantage.
Heck yeah! Okay, so you have one more song for us.
I do. I want to play a song I wrote for my husband. This idea really came out of his mouth. We were laying on the beach in Jamaica on our honeymoon, and I was asking him how he was feeling, and he was like, "Are you kidding me, baby? Look, the loving you landed me."
Oh.
And I just was, instead of going, "Oh," I thought to myself, oh my God, what a fantastic song title that is. So I came home and I wrote it with our good buddy, Andy Zach.
Hey, can't wait to hear it.
Thanks.
Some blue sky sipping on my ties. Let's take a long stroll down the beach. Come on, baby, dip your toes in with me. Ice cubes melting, we can't stop laughing. Look where the
together, and the fact that we ended up together is actually really hilarious to my 17-year-old self, I assure you. But yeah, he's a big inspiration to a lot of what I do, so I was happy to write that one for him.
I love that. Okay, so the house sessions, everyone, go get it from Jenny Gill.
I think that's a great idea.
I think so too.
Yay!
Caroline, she's the queen.
I know you love that interview from Jenny. She's such an interesting, amazing girl. Y'all get her EP, The House Sessions. It's so good. Next week, I have Brandi Cyrus joining me. Brandi Cyrus is a model, a DJ. She loves horses. She also has a new show on Bravo with her mother called Cyrus vs. Cyrus, which takes me to the fact that she's in one of America's most famous families, the Cyrus family. We talk all about that, what that's like growing up in that family with Billy Ray as your dad, Miley as your sister. She has done so much with her life, and she is just one of the most engaging, interesting people. You meet her, and you feel like you've been best friends forever. So you guys get excited. Brandi Cyrus is joining me next week. Y'all don't forget to subscribe.